Back in the mid-1970s, RCA released on 10 sides, 10 LP sides, what may well be the definitive recordings of the music of Scott Joplin. And the pianist for that occasion was Dick Hyman, and I'm happy to have caught up with him after all these years of admiring his work as a Joplin expert. We'll find out, however, that that's not all there is to Dick Hyman by a wide mark. And welcome to the Midday.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be with you.
I do have to ask how that whole RCA project came about before we get into some of your more contemporary work.
Well, you know, back then there was a period in which there was a sudden interest in early jazz and pop music of the early 1900s. It proceeded, I think, from the film called The Sting, in which Marvin Hamlisch made the score entirely out of pieces by Scott Joplin, which were then rearranged for use in the film. And there was a lot of talk about the revival of this early American music. And as a performer of that kind of thing and person interested in that, I was tapped to make several albums myself. So I did the one you mentioned, which was the entire Scott Joplin works for piano. And I did another one for a different company on the music of Jelly Roll Morton. And then I wrote the score for a film about Scott Joplin and so forth. And it kind of boomeranged for a while as we all tried to keep up with early American jazz and ragtime.
Then you got, actually all along, even on that fairly early project, you did some improvisation, and we'll get to that specifically in a minute. But first, one of the things that you recorded fairly recently was your take on the Stephen Sondheim standard, Sending the Clowns.
Yeah, that's in my newest album, and I think it's a remarkably well-written and beautiful song. And have you got it there?
Here it is.
Oh, let's hear it.
Dick Hyman with his workup of the Stephen Sondheim standard, Send in the Clowns. All right, Dick, is that something that you would have played from score, or was that totally improv after some experimentation beforehand, or how did that recording come out?
Well, this was part of a recital I gave at a place called the House of Pianos. in Madison, Wisconsin.
You'll be playing there again May 30th and 31st, I believe.
I will, indeed. I hope it continues to be an annual event. And this was a live performance. No, I don't usually have written music in front of me when I do these things. And that, while some things are a little more planned than that, that was pretty much an improv in about the longest form that I can do. Guess it's about 10 minutes long?
Well, seven and a half, but it's got a lot packed into it. I'd say everything from country to classical to, of course, lots of jazz, too.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that project that we mentioned early on, your Joplin 10 Sides for RCA, and that includes some improvs of yours, including a fairly short one of the Heliotrope Bouquet.
Okay. Well, at the end of the recording sessions, and there were quite a few of them, something like 15 to get all of these, as I recall, 53 Joplin pieces recorded. When we had some time left over, relieve the tension, so to speak, I improvised some takes on the tunes I'd finished working on, and I think this was one of them. Honestly, I can't remember just what it was, but I'd be pleased to hear it. I just improvised. You know, by this time, I knew the pieces very well, and I played them exactly the way they were printed. But the improvs were just what they say. They were improvised on that material, but very freely, and trying to get away from the bounds of the printed program.
Heliotrope OK, Dick Hyman with his improvisation on that Scott Joplin tune. One of those chips from the workman's bench, you might say, kind of a byproduct of the complete Scott Joplin recordings of Dick Hyman, that improvisation on Heliotrope OK.
That's one I particularly like of Joplin's. It's a nice lyrical piece.
There's a lot of lyricism in Joplin.
Mm-hmm. No, well, there is.
It's not always played that way, but there's a lot in there.
Yeah.
You've also recorded at least some Thelonious Monk, another one of the jazz greats of the piano.
Well, in recent years, I've come to really enjoy playing, about a half dozen titles of Monk's, and I did put them in that new album, which I believe you referred to earlier.
Misterioso is a wonderful title. That's another thing about jazz, as opposed to a lot of classical music. It has great titles, and Misterioso is a good one right there.
Well, Misterioso, I noticed Monk used the Italian spelling, M-I-S,
yeah.
Not M-Y as we would do, which is interesting in itself. Whatever, it's a very simple a piece that depends on very little except the harmony of passing sixths. I don't want to get too technical, but that's what it is. And if you play them right, they have an almost Debussy kind of effect.
Well, there was, of course, a great affinity between Debussy and jazz. That seems to have been a favorite of a lot of jazz composers among the classical composers. Here it is, Misterioso, Thelonious Monk, and all those sixths.
Thank you.
They liked it. Mysterioso by Thelonious Monk, as played by my guest during this part of the midday, Dick Hyman. You have not restricted yourself just to the traditional piano.
You mean, do I play other instruments?
You've turned on the electricity, at least at one point.
Oh, at one point, I was more in demand as an organist.
Really?
For a few months, it worked that way. It was a height of interest in jazz organ and pop organ, and it was for many situations, it was a new effect to add that to a regular studio orchestra. So I got very busy as an organist for a bit.
You got into the synthesizer too, though.
Well, that's true. My recording was, I think, one of the very first to hit the charts, as they say, as a synthesizer recording, the Moog synthesizer, to be specific.
It was all the rage once upon a time. Is this piece of Minotaur that we're going to be sampling, is that from the Moog days?
Well, that is. That goes way back. I think we're talking about 1969, 70, something like that.
So
and the Minotaur was a kind of a hit. It was issued on two sides of a 45. A recording, if anybody remembers what 45s looked like.
The ones with the big holes in the middle.
That's right. And it was issued in full, very long recording on the LP, if anybody remembers what LPs were.
Barely, yes.
Yeah. And, of course, it was totally a studio production. It was an overdubbing. The Moog really cannot perform all those things simultaneously, so you have to put on the drums, and then the bass, and then the melody, and then the extra little things I had going there. However, I've learned to do it as a piano solo, and occasionally I try it out that way, and
wow,
people seem to remember it. But what you have there, I believe, is the original recording.
Yeah, we'll hear just a little bit of it. This is called Minotaur, and this is totally your creation, Dick?
Well, with a lot of help and advice from the fellow who introduced me to the synthesizer, a nice friend named Walter Sear, who has passed on, and I did this thing in his studio with his equipment, and he showed me the relationship of many of the sounds you can get on it to the sounds of the electric organ, which, of course, I was familiar with, and we took it from there. This one, although it got to have a method, finally, it was really each of the parts was improvised.
Thanks for joining me for the midday today, and
thank you.
I'm sure we'll look forward to a next time if you come back next year and play at Farley's House of Pianos. Dick Hyman will be performing at Farley's House of Pianos in Madison May 30th and 31st. A great pleasure.
Thank you very, very much, Norman. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.